On our minds this week is the story of a long-lost country music album that's just been released 40 years after it was recorded. Country musicians Vince Matthews and Jim Casey recorded the Kingston Springs Suite back in the early 70s. It was backed by some big names, and at the time, Matthews and Casey were rising stars in and around Nashville. There was a lot of talk about those songs. But after their record deal tanked, Vince's career faded away. He died in 2003, but Jim Casey is still around, and Charles Monroe Kane caught up with him.
Well, tell me about Vince. What was Vince like?
Vince was a wonderful, creative person. He really was. He came from what I'd call a hillbilly background around Waverly, Tennessee. And in this little town of Waverly, Vince must have stuck out like a sore thumb. He loved Elvis. He was the only one at the prom when they had the prom and graduation. Vince wore a white tuxedo so he would feel like Elvis when he graduated. Brilliant person in my book. Sometimes people would get that brilliance mixed up with his habits,
right?
Which back then in the day, and people don't talk about this much, but I'll tell you, Nashville was a speed town.
You say you're leaving Kingston Springs, ain't nothing here for you.
The town floated on pills, and at least they were pharmaceutical. It wasn't like what you have today with meth.
Right, yeah.
It really wasn't. If there's a good side to it, it was those, they were diet pills meant for fat ladies and musicians who never got to sleep.
And I hope you stop and see me, child, next time you come passing through.
The only time I ever much saw a motel room was in the afternoon when we would be changing our clothes. And then we'd do the show. We'd, get in the station wagons and had trailers, and we'd drive another 500 miles. And I liked to drive, and I liked everybody else to shut up and go to sleep. So I'd light one up and get them stoned, and I'd take a little something, and I'd drive 500 miles. I'm not ashamed to admit it.
Not ashamed to admit it. Now, during the midst of all this, there was some creativity going on, and you guys came up with a theme album called the Kingston Springs Suite. How did that come about?
I was writing for a gentleman named Jack Clement, who was inducted in the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Cowboy Jack Clement, right?
You bet, man. Yeah. Now, you know him well.
If I do.
You call him the cowboy, and he was the cowboy, and his mind was so open to creativity, I thought that everybody was like that. I saw the openness and the chance to create. And Jack's thing was, we've got studios here. You guys go in and record. Find people to record. Cut your songs. Myself, I wasn't finding anybody that was real exciting. I tried one gal who I had dated over the weekend, and she gave me a tape, and I played it for Jack, and he shut it off half the way through it and said, forget about this. You've got to do something else. And I said, well, what about Vince? And I saw Jack's eyes light up because Vince, was a little squirrely sometimes, meaning out there, and probably it didn't help that he was taking amphetamines and be real excited sometimes.
Yeah.
Woke up this morning, heard a little bird say, ain't nobody supposed to work on such a sunshiny day. Merry, 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 life is just a dream. Let's go floating and a loafing and a toking downstream. Me and Vince don't work in the summertime.
Take me back. What was it like the first time when you and Vince were in that recording studio and they pushed record? What was that experience like?
We know anytime they push the button in the recording studio, it's exciting. And it should generate something more than what you're carrying up to that moment. The first time we started recording in the studio to record the Kingston Springs Suite, it was produced by Shel Silverstein. I'm sure y'all are familiar with his writing and his art and his poetry. He brought that same feeling to the recording studio. It was an amazing one. He wanted the trees and the leaves all around it, and he wanted funny characters in the sound. I can't explain it. Shel Silverstein's advice was, keep it simple. He didn't want it to sound like an imitation of country music.
Right, right, of course. Do you remember what the first song was? Do you remember what that first recording was?
I think the first song we did was Laid Back Country Picker.
Uppers, downers, turned arounders, tuck me up, then laid me down. Then one day I found myself in this sleepy southern town. I'm not looking for no answer. Now I know I'd never find just a laid back country picker with a laid back country mind.
Johnny Cash, Kris Kristofferson, Cowboy Jack Clement, all put money behind this project for the Kingston Spring Suite. Johnny Cash wrote some pretty amazing liner notes for the album.
He did.
It was very well supported. Despite all of that, this record was never released until like a month ago, 40 years later. Why was it never pressed and released? You were done.
At some point, we really lost the monetary support of and the business support of Johnny Cash. Not because of anything we had done wrong. Cash just kind of folded up his enterprise within weeks after we cut the album. Closed the studio, shut down their publishing for monetary reasons and the IRS and things like that. And I was still on good terms. I'm not so sure about Vince.
Yeah, how did Vince, I mean, Vince seems like a bit of a wild one. How did he react to suddenly his project not getting the light of day?
Well, he was very frustrated. Vince was a hard person to deal with when he was frustrated, like many geniuses are.
Yeah.
And he was a genius. I'd have friends that in the business that would argue with that. Of course, they were the ones that didn't go that route and are millionaires and wrote all their songs in an office as opposed to Vince Matthews. And the hillbilly method, he called it the hillbilly tradition, where we would have to stay up for days at a time, driving all over, visiting people, playing songs, going to offices, being crazy. And then only after you had exhausted yourself and got your mind to where you couldn't, then you would write the song.
You know, Jim, for more than 40 years, none of your songs on this LP ever saw the light of day. That is, except for with one exception, Waylon Jennings. The Waylon Jennings covered one of these songs, and it was a huge hit for him. Somehow along the way, Vince must have sold it to him. What was it like for you when you found out?
I was at a party one night, and another guitar player was there, Billy Ray Reynolds, and I was playing this song, Layback Country Picker, and he heard it, and he came over and started playing it with me, and he goes, I know that song. I've played that song 1,000 times. He said Waylon opened every show with it, and we recorded it 3 or 4 times. And it was Laid Back Country Picker.
Because he's a laid back country picker. He got a laid back country mind.
Like, I got to ask you, if you don't mind me asking you a personal question.
Sure.
You know, Waylon Jennings, Johnny Cash, all these people, Shel Silverstein, all these people doing your songs, they've made success from them. The Kingston Spring Suite, kind of your opus in some sense, was not successful. Do you resent that at all?
It made me feel bad. It made me feel very unsuccessful. And it was something I couldn't talk to people about because most of them didn't understand the process of why something was successful or wasn't. And then when I started talking about Johnny Cash or Waylon, especially up here in Nebraska, or Waylon or Shel Silverstein, Kris Kristofferson, being my friends, they thought I was lying to them.
Wow.
Somebody making up. And so I just didn't talk about it.
And I may sometime. Oh, but not as long as the robin sings or the river runs through Kingston Springs.
You know, I know your former best friend and music collaborator has passed away. What do you think of all this? What would Vince think of this?
I'd love to explore that thought because, you know, Vince, in his own town, there would be times he'd be ridiculed. He'd go into a bar or something, and one of these guys in there who was not a tenth, a hundredth successful as Vince ever was with what he'd produced, would say something like, "Hey, Vince, how's that old Kingston Springs suite doing? You got a record deal there? How's this doing?" And it was so hurtful to Vince. It was hurtful. And so his attitude was not great, but I know it would be now. I'd love to have him sit here, man. He'd run his hands through that long Indian hair, and he'd roll his eyes up into his head and flitter his eyelashes, and he'd tell you something brilliant to let you know that he always knew he was brilliant, and you should know that too.
Was last year about this time Melva made this glass of wine.
Jim Casey recorded the Kingston Springs Suite with Vince Matthews nearly 45 years ago. It's just been released. Charles Monroe Kane talked with him.